That first verse of the gospel reading has always niggled with me a little bit. If you love me, Jesus went on, you will keep my commands. Because commands can so easily sound like a list of things that we have to do in order to prove that we love Jesus. So, question for you, what are the commands of Jesus? Sorry? To love one another? Love the Lord your God? Love your neighbor as yourself. It wasn't a trick question. So, just a few verses earlier, Jesus has told his disciples, I'm giving you a new commandment, and it's this. Love one another. Just as I have loved you, so you must love one another. This is how everybody will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for each other. There's a lot of love each other in there, but Jesus isn't just talking about loving those nearest them. It's about loving everyone. And if you go back to and think of the greatest commandment passage where the Pharisees gathered together, one of them asks Jesus a question to test him. Teacher, he said, which is the most important commandment in the law? You must love the Lord your God, replied Jesus, with all your heart, with all your life, and with all your mind. This is the first commandment, and it's the one that really matters. The second is similar, and it's this. You must love your neighbor as yourself. The entire law hangs on these two commandments, and that goes for the prophets too. So in essence, I reckon when Jesus is saying, if you love me, you will keep my commandments, he's just trying to avoid a little bit of a tongue twister. Because really what he's saying is, if you love me, you will love in the way that I have shown you. And that love is not soft or soppy. It's a whole of life, all-encompassing love. You remember when Jesus touched the leper that no one else would go near. Jesus could have healed him with a word. He had done it before. But before Jesus heals him, he touches him. His love for this man was so radical and against the culture of the time that he didn't stand at a safe distance. He rolled up his sleeves and came close. Or do you remember the time Jesus flipped the tables in the temple? It's not just Jesus losing his rag in a moment of anger. This is love refusing to stay quiet while vulnerable people are being exploited. Jesus' love is not passive in the face of corruption. Or how about the time Jesus defended the woman caught in adultery instead of condemning her? This woman, she was dragged out to be killed in a shameful way. The crowd is ready with stones. The leaders are trying to trap Jesus. But he just steps into the firing line and kneels down in the dust. And notice that he doesn't say that sin doesn't matter. But he also doesn't reduce this woman to the worst thing she has done. Jesus, who is the only sinless person there, doesn't throw a stone. Jesus doesn't excuse sin, but his love works to redeem it. Or do you remember the time Jesus knelt down at the feet of his friends and washed their feet? Jesus knows what's coming in the next day. He knows he's about to be betrayed and accused and mocked and killed. Yet in those final hours, he shows us how to love through service and equality. And he gives us an example to follow. Or do you remember that time when Jesus prayed for the very people who nailed him to the cross? Here we see Jesus' love in its fullest. It's the climax of everything he has taught. Love your enemies, pray for those who persecute you, forgive as you have been forgiven. Love and obedience can't be separated. Someone far wiser than me wrote that contemporary Christian thinking tends to avoid the category of obedience and to speak only of love. That is the way to illusion. Obedience is the test of love. Love is the content of obedience. And in both, we see that Jesus is our guide and our mediator. And as Bruce said last week, this passage of John is imbued with love. The primary thing Jesus asks his disciples is for them to embrace the love he has lived among them as the goal for their own lives. In the Anglican Church in New Zealand, when you're ordained as a deacon or a priest or a bishop, you are asked to make a whole series of declarations. And the one that resonates with me and challenges me the most is when we are asked, will you so live the gospel that you are challenged? I'm going to start all that again because I'm forgetting my own declaration. Yeah. Will you so live the gospel that you challenge us with the demands of love? Will you challenge us with the demands of love? It's not a gentle sell, and of course we respond, I will. God, give me strength and humility. But I'm sorry to say that this isn't something just for the clergy. It's the explicit call of Jesus on all his disciples. Me, but it's also every single one of you. Are we challenging each other with the demands of love? For Jesus, that challenge meant it demanded that he touch the untouchable, demanded that he confront exploitation, demanded that he defended the ashamed, it demanded that he knelt with a towel, and it demanded that he forgave from the cross. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. Jesus isn't calling us just to be rule followers. He's calling us to continue forming into a people who love the way he loved. To love God, to love each other, and to love everyone the way he did. And so, a question for you. Will you so live the gospel that you challenge us with the demands of love?
Well, God, give me strength and humility.
Amen.